Amen. Well, without further ado, we're going to continue on and go to the Word of God. So open up to the book of Luke, chapter 8.
Yeah, love it. Rest the position.
We're in a series right now, and the series is the question, where do I belong? Where do I belong? And so I'm doing the best I can by God's Word and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell me where we belong. And I feel like he's telling us where we belong, and I'm going to continually go back to where we've been talking about the past few weeks. But this is a continuing series. Who knows how long it will last? And so just be patient. Just be patient. You there? Luke 8, chapter 22. I'm going to read it, and it says this. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat. Who's he?
Jesus.
Okay, so Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples. How many disciples?
12.
Okay, 12. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. That is going to preach tonight. Just that's that verse right there. I just can't wait. Luke 8:22. I'm in the right scripture, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. I love it. Jesus, our Master and Savior God, falls asleep on a boat. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy, or your translation probably says danger. They were in danger. And they came to him, Jesus, and awoke him. That's probably the coolest thing, the best thing they did that whole time. Saying, Master, Master, we are perishing, or we're dying, we're being destroyed. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. I got to stop there, and before I bring this whole message into an analogy and tie it all together, I just got to stop here and say this. Jesus is God, and he is the only one who can calm the storms and calm the waves in our lives, but also in the real world. So if you know of tornadoes and you know of hurricanes and things like that, Jesus is the only one who can calm those things. He is God, and we see here where he's on a boat with people, and these people weren't just people, most of them were fishermen. And so to be on a boat and to be on this sea, they understood what it was like to have storms. But they start freaking out, Jesus calms the storms. So what they say rightfully, they say, Jesus says, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Jesus commands the winds and the waters. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Is anybody here tonight?
I am.
Man, you guys just got to, okay. Well, you just got to be attentive, on the edge of your seats, acting like God is wanting to speak to you tonight, and get ready for it. I'm going to hit you with my water bottle, man. You there? Chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified. Who's he? Not Jesus. It was Peter. And exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. How many of you know somebody needs to be saved from this perverse and crooked generation? All right. How many were saved from this perverse and crooked generation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Anybody gladly received his word? And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They weren't added to a church. They weren't added to an organization. They weren't added to a building. They were added to them. Very key in this message tonight. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. Look at this real quick. 42 says fellowship. 43 says every soul. 44 says, now all who believe were together and had all things in common. 45 says, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, one accord, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church, which is the assembling of the brethren, he added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who are being saved. Would you pray with me and ask God to move tonight and to speak to us tonight? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight, God, we're thankful Somebody just be thankful. God, we're thankful that you love us, God, that you chose us, Lord, that you moved on us, God, that you are so good. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you, God, that you're in control and that you're sovereign, that you want to speak and you want to move tonight on each individual person. You're not a respecter of man, you're a respecter of principles. And I pray that your people who are in this place would walk by the principle of listening to your word and applying it to their life. That principle, if they walk it out, they will be blessed and they will see you and see you move. I pray you bless them. I pray you anoint their ears to hear what is going to be said tonight by your Spirit. And God, I'm asking that you would just continually do what you want to do in me and through me in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. No. And all God's people said,
amen.
Okay. Don't just make noise, man. Don't just make noise. So Jesus, we're in Luke 8. And Jesus is on a boat with his disciples. Right? He says this. He says in verse 22, I'm going to go there again. You can just kind of go there with me. It says that he gets into a boat, and Matthew gives an account of this same story, and he says that his disciples followed him in. They followed him in. I got to give honor where honor is due. Our pastor Josh Tanner is in the house tonight. I just got founder and builder of this ministry, man of God. Make sure you say hi to him before we leave. Anyway, I got distracted real quick. But anyway, he says something. Well, the Bible says something that's very important. It says that Jesus steps into a boat, and then Matthew, the same account, says that and his disciples followed him. You got to understand something. We've been talking about being in his presence and being at his feet. And you got to know that if you are in his presence and at his feet, then you will be with his disciples. If you're not in his presence and you're not in his feet or at his feet, you're not with his disciples. And if you're not with his disciples, or if you're not with his followers, if you're not with the body of Christ, then you're not in his presence and you're not at his feet. We have to distinguish that before we go any further, that Jesus goes with his disciples. Everywhere he goes, the people that are his go with him. And so to be with him, to be in his presence, and to be at his feet, is to be with his disciples. Tonight my title is With One Another, subtitle, Where I Belong. With One Another. We're talking about being with one another. Asking the question, Gabriel, where do I belong? God, where do I belong? You need to be with one another. And we see this, it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. You are in a good place today because you're with one another. It goes on and it says, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. You got to know something. Now, we know from the story that what happened was a huge storm came. But you got to remember that what Jesus says is he says, let's go on to the other side of the lake. You have to understand something in your life, no matter what you go through, no matter where you are, God says, we're going to get to the other side. Amen? Yeah. He says, we're starting somewhere, but we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. God wants to bring you through things, but his purpose is to get you to heaven. His purpose is to bring you before his Father, that you're mature, that you're complete, that you're not lacking anything, that you're holy, that you're righteous, that you're living before God and with his people. Amen? He wants to bring you through situations and circumstances, but the purpose is to get you to the other side. Remember, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God, you're bringing me to the other side. You said you will be faithful all the way to the end, so I trust that you're going to bring me to the other side. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. I want to stop here for a moment and understand something. Jesus has something, and this is just, if you want to be a leader and you want to change circumstances, you want to change situations, and you want to be somebody who sets the gauge and sets the temperature and sets the mood of life and of a room, You have to have something that Jesus has. And if you don't have this, no matter where you go, you'll just be chaotic. And what Jesus has is he has something that we call peace. See, the reason why, and we read on, Jesus says, or Jesus calms the storm. But Jesus could not have calmed the storm. Alex, stand up real quick. Jesus could not have calmed the storm if he wasn't possessing within here the peace of God. And so if you possess the peace of God in here, no matter what storm, thank you, no matter what storm, I just had to hit somebody, no matter what storm, no matter what thing you go through, if the peace of God dwells in your heart, you will be able to bring peace to the circumstances and the situation and the people around you. That's a word just for the leaders, people who want to influence your culture, your family. If I am full of peace and I step into something chaotic, at any moment, I can make it peaceful again. Because the peace of God dwells in my heart. So then we need to have peace in our heart. Bible says, then it says, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and there were filling with water. Your translation, but I think, I don't know if your translation says it differently, but I know that in the Matthew, it says that the wind began to blow and waves began to take place. And I want to talk about winds and waves real quick, and we're going to continue to go on. This is all just for the context of where we're going tonight, okay? So winds are all things that are spiritual. Spiritual is winds. Waves are the effect or the reaction in the natural realm from the spiritual. Does this make sense? So the wind blows, you can't really see it, but you see the effect of it. And so when we're on the lake or we're on a cruise and you don't really see, but you can feel and hear the wind blowing, and it begins to stir up this thing called waves. And in our life, you don't necessarily see the devil. There is a devil. He is real. He's small, but he's bigger than you, for sure. For sure. But the one who's in you, amen, is bigger than the one who's in the world. So you got to remember that. But you can't forget that you're still little, though. You're still little. And he's bigger than you. But the one who's in you is greater and bigger than the one who's in the world. Okay? So this devil, he wants to stir things up. He likes to blow on things. He likes to cause divorce. He likes to cause chaos. He likes to cause ruin and havoc. And he wants you to get sick and get hurt. And he wants you to stub your toe and to get a flat tire. He wants these things to happen. He wants to. He really does. But you're in the boat. You got to stay in the boat, though. And so the wind starts blowing. Just... Now I wish I had a super soaker tonight. If I ever preach this message again, I'm gonna get somebody to soak the heck out of you guys. But I couldn't get one tonight, and maybe if you fall asleep, I'll just pour this on your head. The winds start blowing, and waves start coming. Waves are the things you can see in the physical. And so the storm comes and things start happening, and you get in a situation, you start hearing talk about a divorce maybe in your family. Or maybe you didn't even hear about it. It just happened and you couldn't do anything about it. Or maybe you were just kind of doing what you wanted to do and kind of living your life. And before you know it, somebody runs in the back of your car. You did everything you could to get an A on that test, but you got a D. And so you get frustrated. You got that hard thing going between you and that relationship that you're in. And so just some chaotic stuff. Or somebody in the church starts gossiping about you. Or even probably, I would say, the worst thing that could happen, that I would think, is someone that you love dearly dies and goes into heaven or goes into eternity. And that's what I would say, that would be the valley of the shadow of death. So something happens. The enemy blows, or something spiritual happens. There's a battle in the heavenlies and the spiritual realm, and it starts to take effect in the natural realm. We start to see all these things that hurt our heart, and we don't understand why. So we just gotta give up. But you gotta stay in the boat. He goes on, and it says they came to him and awoke him. Which is very simple. No matter where you are, no matter what you go through, the smartest thing you can do is go to Jesus. The smartest thing, the best thing, not trying harder, not trying to get stronger, not trying to build up your self-esteem, because there's lots of people that have self-esteem that are going to hell. This world is not about you in your life. I just want to tell you right now, it's not about getting better and higher self-esteem. It's actually about this man dying so that Jesus can live. It's not so that somebody, so that you can walk around making yourself feel better. It's not about you feeling better about yourself. That's good though, because there's nothing in this that's good in the first place except Jesus. There's nothing good in the first place. And so I don't try harder, and I don't try to get better self-esteem, and I don't try to make myself feel better. And you know, the Lord told me this one time. He said, you know, the biggest problem and the biggest reason why people don't have strength, watch this. The biggest reason why people don't have strength is because they're trying to be strong. They're trying to be strong. The biggest problem with us and the reason why we feel weak is because we're trying in and of ourselves to be strong. And you will never get strong trying to be strong. You will only get strong if you admit your weakness and fall to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you in this situation right now. So the best thing, the smartest thing we can do is turn to Jesus and ask Him, wake up. Well, He's awake. We just need His peace. We need His peace to wake up. Don't freak out in the boat. Don't freak out in the boat. We're going to talk about what the boat is tonight. But don't freak out in the boat. Don't get worried in the boat. The boat's the best place you can be. Gabriel, what's the boat? I'm going to tell you. But just don't worry in the boat. Don't get afraid in the boat. The boat's the best place you can be. If you were in the water, you should start screaming like crazy. Just give up, man. Stay in the boat. No. If you're in the water, cry out and call out to Jesus and have Him pick you up and put you in the boat.
Yeah.
Okay. Just give up and die. No, don't give up and die. Reach out, cry out. What is the boat? What's the boat, Gabriel? What is the boat? Go to Acts 2. See, I'd make it simple for you. I just read two scriptures. I'm just keeping it simple. For real, dog. For real. Keeping it real. What is the boat? The boat, would you write this if you're taking notes? The boat in your life is being at His feet, in His presence, and with one another. Man, it's being in His presence, at His feet, but you can't neglect, and you can't forsake, and you can't forget about being with one another. Acts 2, verse 42. It says that they continually devoted themselves and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. I want to talk about this word fellowship tonight. Amen? If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you some Greek definitions of what fellowship means. It's to continually give oneself to abiding with a person or work. To continually give oneself to the abiding, to be abiding with a person or work. It's sharing unity, partnership, a society. It's a brotherhood. The fellowship is a sharing. It's a unity. It's a partnership. It's a brotherhood. To be in a deep spiritual unity with the Lord and with each other. That's what fellowship is. It's being with one another. The word with means to accompany yourself alongside of somebody. To identify yourself with someone. To find your place in life with. So guys, we ask, where do I belong? You belong with. Your identity is with one another. You find yourself in the fellowship of the brethren. The fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. You belong with one another. Like I said tonight, you're in a good place. Amen?
Amen.
42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I want you to look at this word, and I'm going to hit this, and then we're going to move on quick, because I'm kind of going slow, because I'm trying to hit some points. But it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The New King James, well, sorry, the I think it's the NASB. You have the NASB?
Yes.
One of them, I think it's that one, but it doesn't really matter. It says they committed themselves. They committed themselves. You have to commit yourself to the boat. Man, you got to do it yourself. Gabe, what are you talking about? I mean, you got to continue to be with one another. You got to commit to be with. You got to commit to continually be in the boat. It's your choice. They did it themselves. Thousands of people get saved. And it says they did it themselves. They chose for themselves. I'm going to commit myself to these things. And we're going to talk about what these things are. These things are breaking bread. This is 42. They broke bread, which is communion. And praying together with leaders as well. They broke bread and they prayed. You got to commit yourself to taking communion and partaking daily in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to commit yourself to every day, whether you break actual bread or whether you actually do with your mouth, you say, Jesus, I partake of what you did for me on Calvary.
Yeah.
You have to commit yourself to that, and you have to do it together. Together. This is what fellowship is. They pray together. Verse 43, we're going to hit this. Then fear came upon every soul. Let me see. I'm sorry, I just got to read this one real quick. This probably says the same thing. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. There was an awe, there was a respect, there was reverence to the leaders of the church. There was reverence. There was a sense of awe and reverence and respect given to the apostles and to the leaders and to the disciples of Jesus, to the leaders of them. If you're going to be with one another, if you're going to have fellowship, if you're going to be in the boat, if you're going to be in the boat, there has to be a sense of awe and reverence for those who are leading you. Not worshiping them, not making them an idol, but respecting them. You know, the Lord just challenged me, and I'm just going to say this because I think this is a challenge for everybody. The Lord said, Gabriel, when somebody you respect, a man of God you respect, or a woman of God you respect, walks into a room, somebody that's older than you and above you, why do you sit back like you own the place? He said, you need to stand up and honor them as your authority in your life. So I'm saying this so that you can keep me accountable, and I'm saying this so that you might think about this and think about doing this. That we need to be people as youth that honor those who are above us, that we would submit ourselves to them. We're not prideful, kicking our feet up and taking seats. You get your butt up, you offer them a seat, you shake their hand, you tell them you love them.
Yeah.
It's this simple, but it's important. It shows that you have fear. This is why the church multiplied people. This is why God's church was growing, because they were doing these things. They had respect for their pastors, for their leaders, for those who were over them. Amen? They had respect. I have a whole page. I have 2 pages of scriptures tonight. Remember your leaders. This is Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith. What's their faith? It's their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. In other words, I'm going to have to stand before God for how I've loved you and how I've cared for you. I'll stand before God one day. I will. And the leaders in this ministry will too. We will stand before God. So give an account. We will give an account. Obey your spiritual leaders. Submit to them. Do your part to let them do with gladness and not with sighing and groaning. For that would not be profitable to you either. He's saying, look, don't Don't be sighing and groaning, man. Just submit, love them, and trust them. You there with me? You there with me? Respect God. Man, there's so much I got to say. Be committed. I had to say this in this message because I don't know what I'm going to say. Be committed. If you're taking notes, this is something to take notes on. Be committed to the some ones rather than the some things. Be committed. Don't not come to church, and don't come to church for the some things, for the ministries. Come to church and be committed for the some ones. See, Jesus died for the some ones. He didn't die for the some things. Jesus traded his life. God traded his life. Jesus came, bore the sin of man so that he could be with the some ones, not with the some things. God doesn't care about the some things. The only things that are eternal, the some things. Or sorry, the some ones. Don't forget the some ones. Be committed to the some ones. Don't be committed to the GM. Gabriel, I'm committed to GM. Well, that's cool. What's GM? Be committed to Abbott Loop Community Church. Be committed to the pastors at our church. If you get Gabriel, I've had that, people tell me this all the time. Gabriel, I feel like God's calling me to GM. And I don't want to sound arrogant and things like that, but what God's telling you is he's calling you to be under me and our leadership, under Pastor Josh Tanner and their leadership. That's what God's saying. See, because if this place burns up in Abbott Loop and the name Abbott Loop doesn't exist anymore, what will exist is the people that are overseeing you. Be committed to the some ones, not the some things. Meditate on that for a little bit. 44. Now all who believe were together. Together sharing life and possessions with all. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. This is one of our 3:10 or our upper leadership team's favorite verses. It says, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives as well. But our own lives as well. That's the New Living Translation. Share your life. Be together. Be around each other. This is fellowship. Be with each other. Be around each other. That's the first part. Then it says in 46, so continue and deal with one accord. You guys ready for some scriptures? I'm going to read a lot of scriptures right here because this is it. Being with one accord. Being in unity. With one accord. Being in one accord. Its fellowship has one purpose. It's to love God and one another. To have one accord. You ready? Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ or any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, he's saying, if you have a relationship with God and you feel his comfort, fulfill my joy. God's joy will be fulfilled if you do this. You ready? Don't just experience him, but do this. Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Ephesians 4. Therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the boat. This is what you're supposed to do. Being with, living with one another. What's it mean to be with one another? It means this, that you would bear with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Talking about peace, keep the unity of the Spirit, bearing with one another in love. These are things that we're supposed to do. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That's an amen verse. Amen. 1 Peter verse 3, chapter 8, or chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Yes, you hear something? One mind, one accord. You should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. This is for us. This is how we should live with one another. Don't pay evil with evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard. That is what God has called you to do. And he'll bless you for it. It's not hard, though, if you're in his presence. And you wait on him. Because he gives you the love to love. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. These are things we're supposed to do with each other. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Colossians 3:9. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to one another. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. You hearing something? 1 Peter 4:9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. This means, hey, you can come over. Hey, you can. I'll give you a ride in my car. Hey, you can just come hang out with me. I'm offering. I'm hospitable. I'm open for you. Don't without grumbling. Well, shut up. Just offer hospitality to one another. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. What's that mean? It means walking in transparency. It says walking in holiness, being open, being available, showing that you're open. There's no dark corners. There's no skeletons in your closet. You're open. You're walking in the light. And you will have fellowship if you walk in the light. You want to talk about real fellowship? You want to really know somebody? Share your deep secrets with somebody and cry with them and have them pray for you. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your sin. Man, I've experienced that. That's good news. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. When I sit down with people, with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I try as much as I can to take this word and to comfort them with it. To comfort them. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort each other with these words. Comfort each other with these words. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. John 17:20. This is good. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me. This is Jesus. He's closing in prayer. He's done. He's getting ready to go and be crucified. He says this. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who ever believe. Look, when I'm reading this, I'm trusting that God's speaking to you. I'm trusting that God's speaking to you. So this is the Word of God. Jesus Himself is praying, and we have it, 2009. God is speaking. He's praying. What does Jesus pray for? What's the last thing we get to record that Jesus prays for? This must be important. Amen? This must be important. What's He pray for? He says, I'm praying not only for my disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. In other words, you got to preach the Word. But anyway, I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, Lord, I pray that we would be one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Man, in his presence, and at his feet, and with one another. You want to see people come to know Jesus? You have to be in his presence, and be with one another. In him, and him in you, and in the midst of you, people will be like, man, that's Jesus right there. That's Jesus right there. And they will testify that the world will believe that Jesus was sent. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me, love them as much as you love me. We just hear that? I'm sorry, I got to read that again. I didn't even caught that the first time. That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Is this not where we belong? Jesus praying, God, I want them with me. I want them with you. I want to be in the midst of them. This is where they belong. This is where they're made to be. And I pray, Lord, that they would be at one, and they would be strong, and they'd be in complete unity. They'd love one another. They'd forgive one another. They'd pray for one another. They wouldn't lie to each other. They wouldn't be sinful. They would be caring for one another, bearing one another's sins. They would consider them everybody else better than themselves, and loving them and serving them. God, I pray that they'd be one, because if they are one as we are one, then the world will know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Yeah. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I've revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Isn't that good that God's going to continue to reveal himself to you? He's continually speaking, this is who I am. This is who I am. You got to listen. Keep listening. Remember last week's message. Keep listening. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Sorry, that's just a good scripture. Amen. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. God, where are you at? God, where are you at? I want to know where you are. I'm in the midst of your brothers and sisters. God, I need you right now. I'm in the midst of where you are. Now, yes, God is always with you, but I promise you, He never leaves His church. And you can almost say that if you leave the church, you've left Him. That if you've left one another, if you've forsaken your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you've forsaken Christ. And He's not anymore in the midst of you because you've forsaken Him. And He says, I'll forsake you if you forsake me. So if you have struggles and you feel like you're not closer to God, I encourage you, get with one another. Because where two or more gather in His name, He's there in the midst of you. He's here in the midst of us. Something happens when I pull one of my brothers. You know why Jesus says this? Not necessarily because He's not with us when we're not with people. Because when I'm in my prayer closet, He's with me, for sure. But He wants us to be like, man, there's power in unity. There's power in getting with my brothers and sisters in the Lord and calling on His name. There's power when we have one mind and we call upon Him and we ask Him for things. There's power. He's there. He's in the midst. He moves on behalf of us. There's power when we're together. With one accord, 46b, 46c, and the temple. The temple is where God's people dwell. On the temple, we're the temple. The building is not the temple, we're the temple. The temple is where God's people dwell. It's in His boat. You're going house to house, 46d, the last, the fourth part. And they're breaking bread from house to house. We got to eat food together. And have a glad and a simple heart. Just eat food together, man. Isn't that good? God wants you to eat food together.
Amen.
God wants you to hang out together and eat food together and pray together, believe together, have a fellowship together. Amen? Amen? God, thank you that you said we could eat together. Man, that's good news. Praising God, 47a. They praising God together. They're singing to Him with thanksgiving. This is where you and I belong. All those things was all to say this. Those scriptures were to say this is how you live with one another. But the point is this. You belong with one another. You belong under authority with one another. You belong submitted to somebody who can care for your soul as Jesus would care for your soul. You belong in the local church. Now, you got to feel you're called. If you feel called here, you belong here. We love you. We want to be with you. We want to eat food with you. Amen. We want to praise God with you. We want to pray with you and for you. We want to walk with you and be in the light with you. We want to be with you because it's where you belong. It's where you belong. In His presence is where we belong. See, this is important. We're going to go back to the boat story because lots of people were following Jesus. Lots of people were following Jesus. But only few got in the boat with Him. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? Well, you know. I mean, what church is that, man? Well, I mean, no, like, where's your local, like, who? Okay, you don't go to church. All right, who knows a Christian? My grandma. Oh, how's your grandma? Well, she's dead. Oh, so like, who do you gather with? Like, who's your brothers and sisters? Well, I. Being with one another. In His presence. At His feet. With one another. Many people came and crowds came to Jesus. But some people got in the boat with Him. That's in His presence. But then they fell at His feet and worshiped Him. That's at His feet. Submitted to Him. Many people were around Jesus too. But only few fell at His feet. You know, there's 10 lepers that got healed. You read this story and only one came back and fell at His feet. And then with one another. You belong with one another. You're in a good place tonight. You're in the right place tonight. Don't get worried in the boat, guys. This is the boat. This is the ship, man. This is like the place where Noah, he opens up, he builds this huge ark, and the doors open, and people come. Why they come? Because God drew them to this boat. And they all get inside the boat. And then somehow the door closes. Why? Because God's faithful. He seals it with the Holy Spirit. He makes sure that that boat is sealed up, that we're going to be covered and protected, that His love will surround us, that His hand will be over us, that His favor will shield us, that He is a strong tower we can run to and hide under, because it's His boat, it's not our boat. See, this boat was probably one of the fishermen's boat, but they gave everything to Jesus, so it was no longer their boat, it was Jesus' boat. He's in His boat. He gets His boat. He knows His boat. He knows His church. Gabrielle and your team, can you guys begin to come up? He knows His church. Romans 12, 4 through 5. For as in one physical body we have many parts, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. You got arms, you got toes, you got fingernails, you got kneecaps. All these parts are used for different things. But it's still one body. So we, numerous as we are, there's a few people here tonight. There's a few people here in the body of Christ in the whole world. There's a few. There's a lot. Numerous as we are one body in Christ, and we are members of one another, mutually dependent on one another. One body in Christ, we are all members of one another, mutually dependent on one another. Jesus is still in the boat, people. Amen? Come on, somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is still in the boat. He's still in the midst of us. He's still here. When you start making mistakes, and you fall, and the wind begins to blow, and the waves begin to make your boat and the boat and things start to shift and move. Don't jump out of the boat. Don't jump out of the boat. Don't leave fellowship with one another when things get hard and things get tough. Well, you know, I don't know if I can tell somebody about what happened. Don't jump out of the boat. Where's the best place you should be? In the boat. Where's the best place? Where's the best place you should be? We belong in the boat. We belong with one another. To be with one another. To be beside one another. To care for one another. Their possessions are your possessions, and your possessions are their possessions. You're with one another. You're together. Don't jump out the boat. Amen? Amen? We're going to worship. Would you stand with me? Gabriel, where do I belong? Come on, let's if you want to come back and down and worship, come on down here to the front. We're going to worship. We're going to worship. We're going to get up in each other. We're going to get close to one another. Just come on down, fill up the front, fill up the sides. Get out of your chair. Get comfortable. All three of these messages come down to one thing. It's answering the question that the whole world is asking. Where do I belong? And God wants to tell you, and He wants you to know, you belong in His presence. You belong alongside of Him. And you belong at His feet. Amen? You belong at His feet. You belong listening to Him, worshiping Him, and praising Him. This and this gathering and this fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Jesus. Did you know that you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
Did you know that then we should worship like we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
We should worship like we serve a God who is bigger than the winds and the waves in our life. We should trust that when we're with one another, that there is something that takes place. He's in the midst of us. He moves on us. He forgives us. And He heals all of our wounds. You're in the right place tonight. You're in the right place tonight. I got a scripture, and we're gonna worship.
Come on, just stay in the attitude of worship. You can worship even now. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. This is Jesus. He was rejected by men, but He's precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. You are the people of God in His presence and at His feet. This is where you belong. Come on, begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to thank Him. All with one mouth, with one heart, with one heart. Father, we praise You. We worship You. Gabrielle, would you lead us? Thank you.